What are the greatest T20 franchises ever? And I'm not talking about the entire franchise. I'm probably more talking individual team era.
Northants, T20 Blast, the Fatties era.
Do you know about this? Do you know about Northants and the Fatties? Tell us about Northants and the Fatties. Because
so
I'm obsessed with this.
So Northants, in a really good and quite funny variation of Moneyball, were 50 to 1, 2% chance, basically, to win the Vitality Blast. And they started getting people who had been written off by other teams because of their fitness. I think that's fair to say.
Yeah, yeah.
And people like Richard Levy, basically lots of people that look quite a lot like me.
Rory Kleinveld.
Rory Kleinveld.
Adam Rossington.
Josh Cobb,
yep.
Was the captain and batted 8 and bowled the odd over. And they had David Willey, who's a very good, he's not fat, but...
Yeah, they had some very... Yeah.
They had some really good players, right?
Their idea was T20 grounds in England specifically are quite small. So why do you want fit guys prowling the outfields? What you actually want is big hitters clearing the outfields, right?
Yeah.
Which was so far... I mean, I know the West Indies had done it, but the West Indies had done it more.
This? Hey? Which year was this?
I never know what year anything is. About 10 years ago.
2015 to 2018, I was
in there
say.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
And they were a huge price to win it, right? They've been totally written off. And the
this
players...
Like Northants is not a big...
Yeah, they're not
most
fashionable.
Most of Northants' best players go to other teams.
Really unfashionable team and written off by everyone, including the bookies. And actually what they did was a really good idea. Like Jared said, it's like, well, let's just have these big blokes that are smacking it over the boundary. And people like Kleinveld, who was a decent bowler, could also hump it over the boundary. Yeah. And people hadn't quite discovered how to play T20 cricket yet. Maybe we still haven't, who knows? But that's a different conversation. But they won the whole bloody thing. And they were bashing everybody. And it was awesome. So that's my favourite one, Jared, to answer your question. There are, and also on a budget as well, which is when we talk about the IPL all the time, a lot of these franchises, budget isn't a thing, is it? They've got unlimited money from wherever. Whereas Northants, they do not have unlimited money. They have to think about their resources, which is why doing the calorific money ball, which is basically what they did.
They did lots of things too. It should be said, it wasn't just that. They really thought about T20 cricket. And I remember when Ed Smith was made the selector, I put on a Twitter thread basically going, like, I get it. He spent a little bit of time with RCB and you guys think he's a lateral thinker and everything. But you have lateral thinkers about T20 cricket in Northants. Why aren't they getting these jobs, right? The batting coach, the analyst, the general manager, head coach. I don't know. And it wasn't even really talked about as one person, was it? It was talked about as this collective group. And it's like, well, why do you think Ed Smith's going to do better for you than these people who've shown success? Two championships, 2013, which was the outsider one. Okay. They came back in 2016. I think they might have one other big year around that time as well. You know, and remember, that's a bigger competition. There are more teams in it. You're less likely to win it.
Yes.
I think that's a very, very good shout. I'm going to go per scorches.
Okay.
Justin Langer era. Mm. Even though I know there was a salary cap part of that, which of course I've written about before and hasn't gone down particularly well with some of those people. But what I thought was really interesting is they followed what Chennai had done a long way before, and they looked at role players as our overseas players rather than stars, right?
Yeah.
Which I thought was fascinating. But on top of that, I think they actually, in a period of time when T20 cricket was getting faster, they actually went, no, we can control the game by making sure we score 10, 15 above par, and then by being smart. And they made lots of small, really, they had an incredible analyst working for them for a while there too. And I thought that per scorches team was really, really good because who was the opening batter? Klinger.
Klinger got boatloads of runs.
Do you know Klinger?
Yeah.
I mean, he's like...
You've discussed the story.
Yeah, just... You know, this is not an attacking player. Mm. And they, you know, that was it. Did they have Brisbane, Jordan? No, it would have been Brisbane.
No, I don't think he was Perth.
They had a bunch of random English players who weren't even like big T20.
So they
players.
Had Laurie Evans they went for.
Laurie Evans
was smacking
one.
It at the end.
Yep.
They managed to get the really good Aussie bowlers who somehow weren't getting picked, like Jai Richardson. So yeah. When they had Jai Richardson, he was just smoking batsmen all over the shop. Then they would occasionally get Mitch Marsh in. They were a franchise that just won so much. And in terms of betting odds, per scorcher were like standout favourites most years. Mm. And for quite a long period, Jared, probably a decade, per scorchers were the team to be. And they kept winning as well. They had loads of runs, but the bowling attack, they had guys like, but when you give guys roles, you know, someone like Ashton Agar, who just comes on in that, bowls the seventh.
They got the absolute most out of Ashton Agar, right?
It just bowls a bit dry, goes at seven and over. Nobody really whacks him, does his job, and he can offer you something with the bat, as England found out in a test match. They were just a team that was well put together, and they played the right sort of cricket for that league. They were also, Jared, the only team that worked out how to use the movable power play, which is called the power surge in the Big Bash, right? So this confounded us as gamblers, the power surge. We because basically we thought that they would understand how to use it, these franchises with clever analysts and stuff. So we would go, well, obviously you use it now because you've got a set bat and you've got no one left. So you must use it now. And then they wouldn't. So we put all our money on overs next over or whatever. And they haven't done it. So we got that completely wrong because we couldn't predict what the teams were going to do. So when I kept all the records of what they did with their power surge, so that's a two over power play that you can take any time. Perth started having an actual plan. I think whereas like, all the others, Stars, Jared, you must have known, that it was just vibes, wasn't it?
Anybody who was not even following BBL, after that Babar and Smith controversy, everybody would know what was power search.
Yeah, exactly. So
it made it a global phenomenon.
So six titles.
Yeah.
In two eras. So the Langer one is the one I'm talking about because I think now they're just better, but I think back then they were smarter as well. But they're overseas players, Yasser Arafat, Alfonso Thomas, Michael Carberry, David Willey. There's not a star in there.
Yeah.
Right? Do you remember what Sydney Thunder did? They gave all of their money to Chris Gayle, what do you?
Yeah.
Right? Like, just so much ahead of the game. So we've gone with two very nerdy picks. Where are you going?
Mumbai, 2020.
What? So 1 year?
No. The legacy around it. But like, I think that peaked in 2020, what I felt. It was always building towards it, 17, 19, 20.
And what did they get right, do you think? Because I'm pretty sure me and Ben Jones did a whole podcast on this.
I think the first one thing that they really got sorted was an amazing leader, somebody who actually understood the home ground really well, because Mitchell Johnson was their bowler in 2013, right? So he's more hit the deck kind of a bowler. But then Rohit Sharma realized that if you want the left armers to get counted in Wankhede, you need somebody who would pitch the ball up, who could make the ball swing. So this is how they went back to, like Mitchell McLagan, right? Who ended up winning two titles with them or three, what? He was there in 15.
He was
17.
Genuinely quick, though, wasn't he?
Yeah. We are in the good areas. We have the Goody Awards, and it was named after Mitchell McLennigan because of how good he was at just being a strike bowler.
Yeah, exactly. And then the scouting, how beautifully, brilliantly they integrated people like Bumrah, Hardik Pandya, Kunal Pandya. They did let go Chahal. That was one big blunder in that era they made, which is costing them now, I would say.
Scouting's probably been their major skill, isn't it? They invested in it really early on. John Wright is one of them.
Yes, exactly.
A lot of great, I don't want to discount all the local scouts, but I think a lot of the stuff is played back through John Wright as well. Planning and everything. Tactics, they've never really done anything all that remarkable, have they?
Jared, I have had this discussion with you before also. You were like, they had a brilliant team. Give me that team. Even I'll also win championships with that. But like,
I would win that.
But to be honest, like, I think it was constructed with a proper process. It was just not that it just happened overnight. Like,
No. I give them the credit for that. I think they get credit for the finding young players.
I think from a captaincy perspective, for the first time, they had the stability at the core of it. Because like, Bumrah had a horrible 2015, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hardik in 2016 had like what? He scored 44 runs in the whole season at the average of 60, at the average of 6, strike rate of 67, took 3 wickets in the whole season.
You remember that. You were talking about that before.
Just about to read those numbers because from my own brain.
2016 was an insanely bad season for Hardik. Any team would have let him go.
Mm.
Even Bumrah in 2015 was such. But Rohit, I think, kind of stuck his guns out and he can back these players. I think 2021 also, they were able to reap in the benefits. Still the time the IPL was in India, but the Dubai leg kind of changed it. And then the mega auction and the new teams coming in 22 and then the impact rule, they just never got it back. So from 13, it was building up. And 17, 18, 19, 20, 18 maybe, I would not say that much. But in that particular era, and 2020, I clearly remember Michael Vaughan said it, that this Mumbai team can beat any international team also. They're that good. But they were insanely good. So that for me was something which was a pretty process-driven, backing your scouting, kind of backing the players, even if they're kind of giving you horribly bad seasons, but backing their potential, and then gradually defining roles for everyone. And even though I felt, I would say in 19 and 20 also, from a batting perspective, their overall batting was a little outdated. It was not as if they were kind of catching up with the trend, because Punjab by then had already given you the templates, even right.
So
SRH.
So how come, with all those megastars Mumbai had, do they win the league and then finish bottom, and then win the league and then finish bottom? They kept dropping drastically after amazing seasons. How does that happen when you basically got the same personnel?
14, they were able to reach the playoffs. 13, they won. 15, they won. Six.
No, more recently, well, they've got all the money. They've got all
the
players.
I think they just
they've
messed it up after 2021. They just simply messed it up. Because
do you think
the mega auction in 2021, after 2021, and the new teams coming in 22 with like LSG and GT kind of taking away their star players like Runal, Hardik, all those others, and also losing out people like Butler. I think they were so good that they didn't even care for the kind of talent they could have actually hold on to, because you won't let go somebody like Butler, right?
Do you think that Pollard disappearing has hampered them a lot?
They had Tim David? But they just didn't have the philosophy by then. Because
I think the main skill of that team is really the middle section, which was when they had Krunal, Hardik, and Kyron Pollard.
And Pollard.
Because they had three guys who could bat in the top seven.
Similarly to what RCB has now.
Yeah, three guys who could bat in the top seven, two guys who could whack sixes, one guy who could be the insurance batter, spin, pace, tall, whatever you want to call Pollard's bowling, whatever. So you've got...
Wide.
Yeah, sometimes wide. Six overs, probably you're getting out of those guys a minimum a game.
Yeah.
I thought that was the magic thing. And then on top of that is the scouting, right?
Yes.
So I want to talk about some all-round teams, because I think there's some fascinating all-round teams. The 2023 Chennai Super Kings side, which seemed to bat until 14. You know, the batting line was ridiculous. And the Surrey team of, was it last year or the year before, where they couldn't even bowl all their bowlers because they had so many bowlers.
Oh, that's
in the
ridiculous.
Line up.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, Chris Jordan hasn't bowled today. So what do you mean he hasn't bowled today?
I have travelled the cricketing world, and so I've collected two things: the phone numbers of random taxi drivers and overseas SIM cards. Rideshare apps have fixed the first part, and Sally is doing the second. Now, all you need is their eSIM on whatever plan works for you. You activate it and you can use it anywhere in the cricketing world. It helps you save money. It is a global solution to a global problem. Stop fiddling with tiny sims and get the one that does it all. Go to Sally.com Good Areas and use the code Good Areas to get an exclusive 15% off your first purchase. Fly free with Sally.
I had a conversation with Garrett Batty probably a couple of years. So he's the head coach there. And he's going, what do I do with this side? And I went, what don't you do with this side? Just pick all the all-rounders. And he went, why don't I need specialists? And I said, any other team, I would say you need some. I don't think you do. I think if you just pick them all, you know, you can do whatever you want here. So those two sides stick in my mind. Can you think of any CPL sides that are interesting?
Trinidad.
But they were great, but I can't think of why they were great other than they were just better run than some of the other franchises.
So, no, I think the thing with Trinidad is they got all the good players.
It's a very good start.
It kind of was as simple as that. But there was a time where Trinidad were ludicrously better than everybody else in that league.
By the way, early Trinidad before the CPL were great as well. Do you remember?
So that era is my favourite T20 era.
Even Narayan also came from them, right?
Narayan, Pollard, yeah. Bravos. Bravo. Who was the captain? Who's now the commentator?
So they got... not Ganga, Badri.
Ganga was their captain, wasn't he?
Badri didn't play. I was not able to.
But that was the making of Kyron Pollard.
Yeah.
And
yes,
it was against New South Wales in the Champions League when it was Brett Lee and all them, wasn't it? And Pollard won a game from nowhere, an old school T20 heist he pulled off, and everyone was like, who the hell is this guy? We knew who this guy was at the time because I loved
In 2010, what was the CPL called? He was a big thing, right?
I'm talking way before that. Who was
Champions League?
What was this thing before the CPL? Not the Stamford, the Black Bats one.
Oh, okay.
Before that, it was just the West Indies domestic T20 or whatever.
Yeah, I don't even know if it had a...
That was awesome. That was one of my favourite T20 comps. It was so so rich in fun, right? Mm. It was with what, you know, you had Dave Mohammed doing all the stupid celebrations and the alligator roll and the phone show, all the stuff that Shamsi stole off him and passes off as his own. It was a great era, but some of those guys that Trinidad brought through were disgustingly good at cricket. And they...
Kevon Cooper?
Kevon, yeah. He bossed it in one of the finals. He ended up in the IPL, didn't he? And then vanished.
Yeah.
Is he still around?
He's Kevon not playing Cooper? Anyone.
What does he do now?
Come to
Where's
that?
Kevon Cooper?
It's another show.
Okay. But yeah, that Trini team were ridiculous because they never had Gale and they never had Andre Russell.
Nope.
But they managed to put teams together. Quite a lot of it was Bravo Brothers. And I remember one knock that Darren did that I don't understand how it happened when he was just bludgeoning sixes all over the place.
You're not talking about the one that ruined my career?
Yeah, probably.
So one out.
That's why I remember it so well.
So are we adding even Rajasthan Royals for 2008 in this?
Yeah, I would have had them on the list.
Yeah, because it's such a weird side. And
I'd put Nottingham is another side that had, that played cricket differently. And I think Rajasthan would be in that thing.
Yeah,
probably
exactly.
Slightly shorter runs. Although Nottingham's was maybe a little bit longer.
How many minutes have we got to talk about Swapnil Asnodka? Because that's all I want to talk about.
Well, we're not. But I think Rajasthan were quite interesting the way they went about it.
I think that adds to the one legacy also. Because this is how he was kind of brought on the scene, right? Because this is how they convinced him to be the captain, the coach, the mentor. And he gave his all. He was there at the scouting. He was pumping life into people.
Darren Berry, who was the assistant coach, but was really the head coach, wasn't he? Warren was more like the manager.
Yeah.
But Darren Berry was talking to me about how much time he spent in India going around nets looking for kids.
Yes, like it
was,
exactly.
You know, in a way that even some of the IPL franchises now probably don't do at the level that they should be.
Because Jadeja, in one of the interviews, said that Warren walked up to me and said, like, be the man. And he kind of pumped me up, and that changed.
Well, we talked to Yusuf Pathan recently, and Yusuf talked about, you know, what Warren did for him as well. So, have we missed any other interesting teams? TKR was certainly one on my list. There was a really good Jamaica Tellerwellers team in there. I can't think of any Super Smash teams. Can we put the Pal Royals in, or is that just the wicket?
Yeah, that's what I was...
I think it's the wicket.
What I like about Pal Royals,
but even the Sunrisers from SA20?
Yeah. They're both interesting.
What I like about Par Royals is they did something that Chennai did it, but not many teams have done it well enough and have made home ridiculous advantage.
Yes.
Right? Most IPL games now, it's like where the ground is doesn't really affect the odds.
But GT has done it this season.
Started doing it.
Yeah.
They've started picking his horses for courses, right? There are some, if you really want to run a franchise properly, you should be picking different players in different venues, right? Whereas if you're Pal, you can just go, well, this is us at home and this is what we're going to do. Chennai used to do it at Cheap Hawk, right?
Yes.
It's just loads of spin, all the very best playing against us because
we've got
good spinners and we've got people that are really good at playing spin and our track is going to spin all the time. So good
Even luck. KKR has kind of replicated that whole template for them.
Thank you for listening to this podcast on the Combox Network. There is an ad-free version of this you can find by supporting us on Patreon at Good Areas Podcast. You can also access our Discord channel there. Please like, subscribe, and rate this show. Every one of these helps us. If there was a guest on a show, you can find their links in the show notes. Huge thanks to Rakshit, Ishit, and everyone else who helps us get our content out there. If you want to know more about us, head to combox.tv.
If you make a lot of content like me, you are going to need help. And that is why we use Minvo.pro, a slicing and dicing tool that uses AI to conjure up incredible clips from your podcasts and meetings. If you make content, go to Minvo.pro to cut it.